sermon for this Pentecost Sunday is entitled, Receive the Holy Spirit. The scripture reading is the traditional reading from the lectionary for today, Acts chapter 2. I'm reading about the coming of the Holy Spirit found in Acts 2, verses 1 to 21. Listen as I read the Word of God today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as the fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let us pray as we come to the message. O God of grace, you have given us minds to know you, hearts to love you, and voices to sing your praise. We have come for this purpose this morning, to give you all praise and glory. And so we ask now, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may indeed celebrate your glory and worship you here and as we go from here in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You have probably heard it said before, and it has been said often, that when we are in the midst of a history-making, life-altering moment, we oftentimes do not realize its full impact until after that time is over. I find this so true about life. I remember, even as a young child, and looking back now at the iconic photographs in 1963 of an American president and a first lady hugging strangers in a crowd and then riding in an unprotected convertible as it passed the Texas School Book Depository, with Secret Service agents riding behind them. That would never be repeated again in that fashion. After that day, the rules changed for a traveling president. Laws were passed, and presidential limousines would henceforth be fortified to withstand bombs. They would be equipped with everything from self-sustaining oxygen to several units of blood matching that of the president's. The same lack of awareness of history-writing moments could be said of September the 11th, 2001. All Americans knew they were witnessing the unthinkable, as many people, I know I did, I was watching television that day when the two airplanes obliterated the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, and instantly 3,000 people perished. However, we did not know that just hours after that event, that there would be American armed soldiers patrolling every airport in this nation. We did not know that the airplane rides we casually used for business or family vacations would forever become tedious hours of scrutiny, security screening, and unending stress to get to the airport on time to go through all of that. And by the way, it is still all for our safety. But in a matter of minutes in 1963 and again in 2001 and many times before and since, life changed and nothing would ever be the same again. We will all remember the difficulties of this past year. There will still be time in which we will look back and realize how much life changed. Oftentimes we cannot grasp that again when we are in the midst of it. I never imagined any time in ministry that as a Christian pastor I would ever be required to ask people to stay home from church. It's just not in me. And yet that's exactly what I was called to do. I remember standing here on Christmas Eve this past year. Actually, it was 2 days before Christmas Eve. We recorded the live streaming service early. And I remember I was the only one in the sanctuary along with Mark Johnston as I recorded that Christmas Eve message. It was eerie. I still have a difficult time believing that all that has happened. And I am so glad that we are back in person and I can see your faces again and that so many people continue to still watch through live streaming and always will. But just as well, many of us will remember, and I know I certainly will, Thursday, May 13th. Because that was the day when I heard, and many people in our nation and around the world heard, the CDC make that announcement that fully vaccinated people no longer needed to wear a mask indoor or outdoors, except in close quarters like on an airplane or a bus or in hospitals and those places that are still required by laws to have people wear masks. That day was a game changer. Someone said to me yesterday that they usually get 3 or 4 head colds a year, but that since they had to wear a mask, they hadn't had a cold all year. And he said, I will probably continue to wear my mask because it keeps me healthy all year long. Things after the pandemic changed, and it changed us. Still, and I'm sure we'll do this for a long time, when Joyce and I go to Publix and get back in the car, we pass around the hand sanitizer and we grease up real well. There are times when in life, life changes, and nothing will ever be the same, and new habits are adopted. This is so true in our individual lives. A child is born, and life changes. Sometimes you have to leave a room because of the child crying or the child needing to be changed. No one likes change except a child, right? A child learns to walk. A child learns to talk. And later that child learns to drive, and life changes. Sometimes a job is lost. Sometime a tumor is discovered. Sometime a promotion is awarded for good or for bad. Life changes in an instant, and nothing is ever the same again. Now, I go on about this because this is precisely what happened in Acts chapter 2 when we read about the day of Pentecost. In a matter of moments, for the followers of Jesus Christ who had gathered that day In one place, everything was altered. Nothing would ever be the same again. There would be no going backwards. Think about it. The crucifixion had left those followers of Jesus terrified. They were afraid for their own lives, that the same would happen to them, that they would be arrested and crucified just as Jesus had been. And so they fled and they hid. They were afraid. That's what the crucifixion caused. His resurrection had left these same followers bewildered, but joyful, and some unbelieving still. But then the coming of the Holy Spirit, that left them changed forever. It left them empowered. Not just them, but people who had gathered from all parts. All nations had gathered in Jerusalem. When the 120 people gathered on the day of Pentecost, who had been following Jesus that we mentioned last week, they were confused, no doubt, but they were filled with faith. By the time the day was over, they were convinced and filled with power. And instead of just 10 dozen, there were thousands who came to believe in Christ. Life would never be the same, and neither would the world be the same. The day of Pentecost, you see, was God's appointed time for the Holy Spirit to arrive on the scene as promised and to change the world. The Holy Spirit came as the Comforter. And oftentimes we have experienced Jesus' Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter in our lives. Oftentimes that image is symbolized by a peaceful dove. Like the day when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. But in the Celtic tradition, the Holy Spirit is often imagined and drawn as a wild turkey, because the Spirit goes where it will. It often changes us in ways we can never imagine and takes all of life and finally weaves it into a beautiful tapestry. Notice some crucial facts about the believers who were ready to receive the promise that day. Who were they? Where were they? And what was their promise? Think about the ones who had left everything to follow that carpenter from Nazareth, the ones who could not deny his touch into their lives, that touch that made them follow him, the ones who were heartbroken at the cross and dumbfounded at the empty tomb. Where were they on Pentecost? When God, you see, was ready to move in a way that no one had ever seen, how many were there to be part of it? And the answer is, they were all there. In the very first verse, it says they were together in one place. All of them in the same place. That they did not understand, they were all together there in one place together. They were also there not only physically, but they were there spiritually in devotion to God. When God moved in their midst, they were together in a historic moment of blessing and wonder when all of them would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were together in obedience. They were together in loyalty. They surrendered themselves to whatever God was doing, and they all began to speak at the Holy Spirit's direction. When they were all together, note that it was Peter who finally found his voice to proclaim the gospel with passion here in this story. The same man that denied knowing Jesus. At Pentecost, Peter became the preacher who unapologetically preached the gospel. Peter reached back to the prophet Joel to explain to the crowd that they were standing at the center of a history-making, life-altering, eternity-shaping moment. And he proclaimed, like the prophet Joel, that God's kingdom was for all flesh, young and old, male and female, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord from that day forward would be saved. And that same life-changing truth is available for you and me every day, especially on a day like today. Praise be to God that it is. Now, I could have ended the sermon here, and that's a pretty good image. It's a pretty good message that life-changing moment is available for you and me, but that's not what the text only says. I did not want to stop here and to think that this is just about the birthday of the church or just about us. This passage, you see, about the coming of the Holy Spirit is a direct call for us as Christians to join with Christians in mission around the world. The Holy Spirit's call to us is for us to cross the cultural and the language barriers that still exist, like the many people who were there the day of Pentecost. You heard the names of all of them read. They were nations from all the earth who were gathered in Acts 2. And the question for us is, who are those we are called to reach out to today, whose culture is different and whose language is different? Even as we emerge from this pandemic, it is still not just about us. They need that feeling that we are together with them wherever they are in the world. Pentecost, you see, is a call for us to cross the lines of pluralism in our own community and have conversations with others in spite of any barriers of culture and language. And that's the message here of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and to move into cross-cultural barriers that exist even today in our world. And so may today's celebration of Pentecost be then for us, may it be a life-changing moment for us as individuals, but may it also be a life-changing moment in the way in which we interact with those who are Christians who are different than us. Now, many of us, after this Pentecost, it comes right before the summer, and the summer this year may be filled with some of you traveling in this country. It may be filled with you traveling someplace in the world. And if that takes place, and I bet it will for many, perhaps that is a time for you to visit a church different from your own tradition. And then maybe this fall, perhaps we'll have a Wednesday dinner, and perhaps we can report back about how you took seriously the message of Pentecost and stepped across a cultural barrier and joined hands with other people. That will be Pentecost coming. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, friends, receive God's Holy Spirit. Amen.